Let us pray together. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this your word, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture lesson today is from Exodus 16, 1 through 18, and can be and can be found on page 112 in your pew Bibles. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the day, on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who had gathered much did not have too much, and he who had gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed.
Good morning. I know the sun isn't shining, but it's still a beautiful day. You know why? Because we needed the rain. Because I noticed in my garden the dirt was very dry, so my plants that are still living needed that water. So I'm very happy there's a little rain today. So there's always something to find to be happy about. So today in Sunday school, and today with the scripture, we've heard about the Israelites again, and how God's promise, what has his promise been all these weeks? He is going to always be with them and take care of them and provide for them. But what happens sometimes with the Israelites? They forgot, right? They forgot God's promise. They forgot all the blessings and all the things that he had done for them. They whined. That's right. They complained. "Oh, we're slaves," right? "Oh, help us, help us." They cried, "Help us, get us out of here." So what happens? He sends Moses and Aaron, and they leave. What happened next? They get to the Red Sea, and now they're stuck. The Egyptians are behind them, and the sea is in front. And what happens? Moses raised his staff, and the sea opened, and they had a way to go to the other side. And they were protected because then the water came down and separated from the Egyptians, and they couldn't take them back. Now they're in the desert. A long time they just wandered around in the desert. There's no stores like here, right? They couldn't go to the food store when they got hungry or thirsty, right? Back in those days, they had to either grow it or take it from the river, their water, right? So they ran out of food. All those people started getting thirsty. Do you get thirsty sometimes when you don't drink enough during the day and go, Mommy, give me a glass of water or a glass of milk or juice? She goes to the refrigerator, right, and takes it out and gives it to you. They got very thirsty because they ran out. They also ran out of food. And so what did they do, Brady? What did they do again when they were They were complaining and whining. Sit down. No, but you need to sit down. Thank you. So they were complaining again. Because why? They forgot God's promise. What was the promise? I will be with you always. He will take care of them. They kept forgetting. And they kept complaining. What ended up happening in the scripture today? We heard that God told Moses, go tell the people, I will provide again. I will give you manna in the morning, and at night I will give you birds, the quails, to eat. That would be their meat, so they wouldn't go hungry, right? So they had food to eat again. But what happened? They complained. They forgot. So what is the point of the story? What do we always have to do? Remember God's promise. God doesn't forget us, right? He said, I will always be with you. I will take care of you. And so what is the one thing that we shouldn't do? We shouldn't complain. We should remember the blessings. I mean, we could have a ton of blessings and then all of a sudden something bad happens. Don't forget the blessings you've had and the promise that more are coming, right? We have to remember God's promise. And one other big thing you have to do every day, what do you have to do? What? Pray. And what do you have to say in your prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for loving me, for remembering me, for blessing me, for providing for me. What?
You said in Sunday school this morning that there were bugs on the food.
That's right. They didn't follow God's instructions. Brady was just telling when they went out and they took too much, the next morning they couldn't use it. They took too much, there were bugs all over it, so they couldn't use it. So they had to remember to follow God's instructions, right? So if we do that, then we have to be thankful because God's promise. Always be thankful for God loving you always, no matter what. God's promise is what? He will love you and take care of you. He will never leave you. So let's pray. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Nope. Close your eyes first. We're going to pray. Thank you. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for our lives, for each one of us, Father, for the blessings that you have given to each one of us. Help us not to forget those blessings. Help us to remember you when things go bad. Help us to be thankful that you promise more blessings will come and you will never, ever leave us. Be with us now, Father, through this new week, and thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming up.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's almost the middle of October, and you know what that means? Well, it's time to think about Christmas, of course. If you go to the stores, Christmas trees are out, decorations, all kinds of things, right? Tis the season. When I think about the way that Christmas keeps getting earlier and earlier and earlier each year, I think it ties into some longing that we have as a society for things to be joyful, things to be predictable. We want to have those nostalgic moments. We dream of singing Christmas carols around the hearth with stockings hanging from the mantle and a burning fire and, you know, roasting chestnuts, if that's something that people do in other places than songs. And the smells and the sounds and the sights. And in a world that is increasingly chaotic and unpredictable, we long for something that we can depend on. It's understandable. It's human nature to a certain extent to long for something that we remember fondly from our past as a way to deal with the situations we currently find ourselves in. It's understandable for the Israelites in today's story. Since we last saw them last week, with Moses at the burning bush being commanded by God to lead the people out of Egypt, we've skipped over that whole portion of the Bible where Moses leads them out of Egypt. There's this grand showdown between Moses and Pharaoh, and then finally Moses is even removed from the situation, and God himself deals with the Egyptians. And finally, the people are allowed to go free. And so here they are in this wilderness, somewhere between Elim and Sinai, the place where Moses will be given the law. So these are the early days and weeks of Israel post-slavery, but before they are a nation. They're babies. They are new at this whole freedom business, and they don't quite know how to act. They get worried. Every day is a new experience. And you can imagine that after their provisions that they've brought with them out of Egypt have run out, their stomachs start to grumble out there in the wilderness where they have to work for their own food. They have to go out and hunt for things, perhaps, and gather things. And they're reminded of the way things used to be for them in Egypt. Although, interestingly, they forget about the back-breaking labor. They forget about having to make bricks while gathering their own straw. They forget about how they were oppressed, beaten down. All they remember is that at the end of a long, brutal day, they had pots of meat to sit around. Flesh pots is the way that it's translated in some translations of the Bible. And they start to think about the succulent cuts of meat that they had eaten. You know, the lamb, the pork, the beef, you know, who knows what all it is. But you can just imagine, you know, imagine your favorite food, a food that you haven't had in a very long time. Your mouth starts to water, and they long for the days when they could just simply be fed. And they complain to Moses, and they complain to Aaron. They say, take us back. At least if we had been there, we could have eaten our fill. Why couldn't we have died there? Why did you drag us all the way out here in the wilderness to die? The sense of nostalgia meets them at a time of uncertainty, and they want to go back to the way things were before, back when things were predictable. Sure, things were hard, but at least they knew they were going to be fed. And they don't seem to remember the bad things. They only remember the good things. And isn't that what nostalgia is for us? Facebook, the social media platform, has this feature that shows you postings from this day in previous years. So over this last week, I've seen pictures of Henry and Holland standing on the front steps as two-year-olds waiting to go to their first day at Ramapo High School. I'm seeing pictures of them perhaps when Sarah was still pregnant and there was a hurricane bearing down on us. All of these memories come flooding back. Vacations. You know, you never take pictures of really hard times and post them on Facebook. You show the best parts of your day. And those are the images that come flooding to you. And you remember, oh, weren't they so cute? And, oh, I remember that time so fondly. Of course, you never forget, you never remember the sleepless nights. You never remember the pain and hassle that came with those days. You only remember the good times. So what do Moses and Aaron do? What does God do when the people complain? Well, certainly they could have turned around and marched right back, right? I'm certain that although there would have been harsh punishment, the Egyptians would have welcomed them back with open arms. This slave labor force in the thousands, maybe tens or hundreds of thousands, coming back? Why not? Open arms. But that's not what God has in store for them. God has heard them crying out as slaves to be freed. God has given them what they wanted, and now God has a plan for their lives, but they have to keep moving forward. One of the great things about Judaism and Christianity as well is that we mark stories from the Bible in our religious celebrations. We talked about Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, the second person of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us as a people. On Easter, we celebrate how that same Christ died for our sins and then was raised to new life, and how we were raised along with him. On Pentecost, we celebrate the day that the Holy Spirit broke open the barrier between God and humanity by making the Holy Spirit personally active in the lives of individual people. For the Jews in their celebration of Passover, they remember how God led them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. These are stories that remind them about who God is. It tells them something about their history. It tells them something about their faith. But what it doesn't invite them to do is to turn around and go back and relive those events again. You can't go back there. There's no going back to the way things were. Instead, God gives them what they need in order to move forward. God says, I've heard their complaints. I've heard their cries. And so to satisfy their needs, I will send quail at night. And then when they wake up in the morning, when the dew clears, there will be a substance on the ground. We call it manna, as if there is something special about that. Manna, translated from Hebrew, is literally, what is it? Because that's what the people say when they see it. They say, what is it? And it's called manna. And it's this bread-like substance. It's sweet like honey, and it satisfies. And the people are told, in a test of their faithfulness, but also as a way to build their faithfulness and resolve as a people, each day, for the first 6 days of the week, they are to go out. They are to gather up this manna for the day. And on Friday morning, they're to gather twice as much so that on the Sabbath, they have some left over. And these are the early patterns of faithfulness for Israel. The first day, the first week that they go out and gather, no one gathers too much and no one gathers too little. At the end of the day, they see that everyone is satisfied and no one has anything left over. And then after that, they make some mistakes. They gather too much. And as Brady, I think, told us, it got bugs in it. It started to decay for them after the first day, which was their lesson that God was going to provide this for them every single day, except for one day. Well, they make a mistake there too. They only on Friday morning gather enough for a single day, and then they go outside the next day expectant that God is going to have provided them manna that day too. And when they don't see it, they are terrified. God has abandoned them. The world is going to end. Let's go back to Egypt. We've got flesh pots. We've got leeks. We had onions. We had carrots. We had aromatics. We had French cuisine. It was terrific. All of these things God does for them while providing exactly what they need for that day, God also helps them to continue to move forward as a people. The wilderness wandering for them is not aimless. God has promised them that they can enter the promised land. But with a slave mentality, they are not ready to be a people. And God isn't going to let them go back. There's no going back to the way things were before. God has a plan for them. God has a plan for their lives. And the only way that they can fulfill that plan is to keep moving forward. And that is exactly what God helps them to do. We as a church, Church Universal now I'm speaking, have a tendency of looking back nostalgically on better times. Times when there were more people in our churches. Times when, well, things were on the cutting edge. I mean, we are going to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation in a few weeks, and we think about how Martin Luther, with boldness, nailed those 95 theses to the doors of the cathedral at Wittenberg. We remember John Calvin writing this theological treatise as a proof of the validity of Protestantism and Reformed Protestantism to the king in France to try to get the French, who were Catholics, to stop killing the Protestants because of heresy, instead of proving to them that the Protestant belief was a valid, faithful way of believing. We have a tendency to look back on those days with great nostalgia, but it wasn't all roses. But we don't remember that. We only remember the good times. But God has a way of giving us exactly what we need for the living of each day as well. And we are complicit in that, folks, because, well, at least once a week and perhaps more, we pray a prayer where we ask God to give us this day our daily bread, which is anything but rote, hopefully. When we pray, give us today our daily bread, what we're really saying is, God, give me what I need for the living of my life today. It's a prayer that doesn't allow us to live in the past, and it actually doesn't really even help us to plan for the future. It instead grabs a hold of us and makes us sit right where we are in the moment and live the day that God has given us today. And perhaps each day our faith is tested, wondering, is God going to be faithful today? Is God going to provide for me today? Is God going to give me today the things that I need for the living of today? What we have in the Bible is a pattern of faithfulness that develops over time. And hopefully, as we live out our lives and our faith is tested, that faith strengthens. Hopefully, we are not still the slaves that we once were. But instead, hopefully, as we have lived our lives in faith, God has shown us God's faithfulness in such a way that we can know that we can depend on God, that God is indeed going to be faithful. One of Jesus' famous sayings from the Gospel of John is, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that has come down from heaven." Jesus himself is our daily bread, who each day has promised, through the power of his Holy Spirit, to walk along with us, to guide us in our lives, to give us exactly what we need for the living of our lives today. As much as we might like to, there's no going back to the way things were. There is only that promised land ahead that God has promised to show us, even though God doesn't give a detailed map about where it is. The Israelites wander around for 40 years. They know where the end is, but they have no idea how to get there. But God is with them every step of the way, forming them and shaping them into a people so that when the day comes that they are to enter that promised land, they are ready to be there, fully formed as a people of faith, taken as a group of slaves to a mighty nation. My prayer for us as a people is that we would walk faithfully along with God, trusting that God will be with us each step of the way, forming us and shaping us as Abundant Life Reformed Church into the people that God wants us to be, the people that God needs to use in this community and in this world. So as we pray together, give us today our daily bread, may that be the image that dwells in your minds of Christ, who is our daily bread, guiding and directing us each step of the way. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we ask that you would be present with us each day of our lives, that you would help us to understand our purpose in life, that you would help us to see the path that you have laid before us, and that you would give us each day what we need for the living of life. Strengthen our faith by guiding us in small steps, each step of this way that you have called us to follow. And thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, the bread which nurtures our very souls every day. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in God in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.